Hello, my name is Christopher Ryan. I'm presenting some survey research out of the University of Florida titled Determining Predictive Social Factors in the General Florida Population for the Adoption of Seasonal Fertilizer Blackout Periods. And since submitting this abstract, I've also collected data from decision makers, people involved in policy creation, so I've gone ahead and included that within this presentation as well. To give you a quick summary of policy in the state, every county and municipality is able to draft and adopt their own fertilizer ordinance related to lawns and landscapes. And these ordinances typically include regulation related to buffer zones, timing of fertilizer application, licensing and enforcement. But about half of them include a seasonal fertilizer blackout period prohibiting the application of nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer. This is almost always during the summer months. So I have a map here that I created that shows the distribution of policy across the state of Florida, orange being areas that have adopted some kind of fertilizer ordinance, and red being areas that have a seasonal blackout ordinance. So you can see along the East Coast, Indian River Lagoon has a lot of seasonal blackout ordinances, and then on the Gulf Coast, Tampa Bay area, and to the south. So to give a brief timeline of events, the first seasonal blackout ordinance was adopted in January of 2000 in St. Johns County. That's the image in the lower right, with concern for impairment in the Guanah Marsh Basin. This prohibited the application of any quick-release nitrogen from May 15th to October 31st. And while this ordinance was eventually repealed, it did create quite a lot of controversy and concern within the turf grass industry and the golf industry, as well as from turf grass faculty at the University of Florida. Speeding ahead to April of 2007, Sarasota County was the first county in the state to adopt a summertime fertilizer blackout period, which, as the previous slide showed, quite a lot of counties and municipalities have since adopted a summertime fertilizer blackout period. In 2009, the state made a law that if there was impairment in a water body, that a county or municipality for that watershed had to adopt at least the state model ordinance. And this state model ordinance does not include any kind of summertime fertilizer blackout period, so that's optional for the counties and municipalities to then decide if they'd like to go ahead and do that. So all of this led to some building controversy. In March of 2009, the University of Florida published an electronic data information source, EDIS document online, it's a fact sheet, that looked at two different angles on this issue. One being that there's a lot of different causes of eutrophication and that lawns and landscapes may not be the ultimate culprit for eutrophication of these water bodies. And the second being that if you prohibit the application of fertilizer during the active growing period, you end up with weaker stands of turf that are receiving fertilizer during dormant periods, so you might have some unintended consequences. In 2010, the Florida Sierra Club submitted a public records release request for the faculty at the University of Florida for emails with allegations of collusion and corruption with industry. They wanted 42,000 pages of documents, which would have cost $24,000. The Sierra Club said this was too much money, and they filed a lawsuit against the University of Florida, the results of which I can't quite find out. So this issue still continues to be relevant, and there's a lot of different protests that have occurred across the state in different cities. St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Fort Myers, Clearwater, Stewart are some examples. And up into 2016, we have three new blackout ordinances that were adopted, though the two most recent are wintertime blackout ordinances, so it's a reinvention of how this policy is being adopted. So for my research, I wanted to assess differences between Florida residents and decision makers in a couple of different metrics that I'll go into further in the presentation. I also wanted to determine gaps in policy awareness and what implications this might have for extension and outreach efforts. And then lastly, I wanted to explore how this controversy could be minimized, because ultimately I think having a lot of controversy around this issue isn't beneficial for environmental health outcomes. So I surveyed two different populations, one being Florida residents, and this was part of a larger annual water survey that goes out of the University of Florida, and I was able to put in some of my own questions. This had a response rate of 58% due to a mild incentive. It was kind of a point system with gift cards that Qualtrics uses, the survey software. And this The responses were found representative of the larger state population based on U.S. Census data, and there was a weight variable that was used to kind of adjust to make it completely representative of the state. So this is the Florida population. And then the second population that I surveyed were Florida decision makers, people involved in policy creation. And this, I used an email list of county and municipal policymakers. It had a response rate of 12%, which is a lot lower, but it's a hard-to-reach population, and there was no incentive for this survey to be completed. And using chi-square analysis, the respondents were found to be representative of the larger decision-maker population based both on sex and region of the state resided, so we can generalize to the decision-maker population at large. So some of the statistical analyses used, I did chi-square tests and ANOVA. I also did correlation analysis using Pearson's R and Spearman's Rho, and then I had a couple questions that I used logistic regression to address. So first, one question on the survey was, is there a fertilizer blackout period in the city or county in which you reside? And there were differences in how decision makers and Florida residents responded to this question that were found to be significant. Decision makers were more likely to say yes, more likely to say no, and less likely to be unsure, which is kind of intuitive. You'd expect them to have just a better idea of what the policy is because they're involved with making it. But I think a more interesting question on this is how accurate is this response? Because this is just what people said. So I looked at that as well. And there were differences in terms of accuracy between Florida residents and Florida decision makers. Florida decision makers were more likely to be correct, less likely to be incorrect, and less likely to be unsure. And I'd also like to point out just how low the rates are for accuracy, maybe even with decision makers, because you'd hope closer to 100%, but it's not too bad. But with Florida residents, there's a lot of room for improvement. I also surveyed diversity in lawn care practice. So this gives you just the raw percentages for the two populations. But significant differences were found with three different practices. Decision makers were more likely to hand pull weeds and more likely to have an automated irrigation system using a timer to water their lawn. But most relevant for this survey, maybe most interesting, is that they were less likely to apply fertilizers. So they have behaviors that differ from the general Florida population, but they're responsible for making policy related to this topic. I also used Likert scale survey techniques to assess two different metrics. One was turfgrass sentiments. I wanted to see how people felt about turfgrass, how positively or how negatively they felt. And the other was trust in landscape science. So this uses a 1 to 5 scale, strongly agree to strongly disagree, and then you have a series of questions all assessing either turfgrass sentiments or trust in landscape science, and then you can average the response for each individual and then create an average for the population. So for turfgrass sentiments, people generally have very neutral feelings about turfgrass. While some people are really anti-turf and some people are really pro-turf, most people probably don't have many thoughts about turf at all. And there weren't differences between the two populations. But trust in landscape science, both populations had slightly higher than neutral feelings about trust in landscape science, and there was a significant difference. Florida decision makers were more likely to trust landscape science than Florida residents. Some correlations of interest. For Florida residents, the more positive they felt about turfgrass, the more likely they were to believe that there was a policy. This is regardless of accuracy. The more lawn care practices they had, the higher diversity. That was also correlated with the amount of education they had. And then the amount of lawn care practices, there was a moderate negative correlation with accurately identifying a blackout policy. So the more lawn care diversity and practices they had, the less accurate they were. For decision makers, increasing trust in landscape science meant less likely to adopt a fertilizer blackout period or to have a fertilizer blackout period in their city or county. Increased feelings about turfgrass, more positive feelings about turfgrass, meant more likely to have a blackout period. And similar to residents, the increase in diversity for lawn care practices was correlated with higher education. And there was also a correlation between income. Higher income meant more accuracy in identifying a blackout policy for Florida decision makers. So using logistic regression, I had two questions I wanted to answer. One being, can the actual blackout policy of a city or county be predicted by trust in landscape science and turfgrass sentiments? So if you know how people feel about turfgrass, you know how much they trust landscape signs, can we figure out what the actual policy for a city or county would be? And this was found only to be significant for Florida decision makers. And it's a fairly low R-square value. So these two turfgrass sentiments and trust in landscape science explain about 10.5% of the total variation in if a city or county has a blackout policy. So there's a lot more going on than just trusting landscape science and how they feel about turfgrass. But in the social sciences, it's hard to kind of, there's so many different things going on. So this is a part of a larger picture. And then secondly, can the identified city or blackout status be predicted by trust in landscape science and turfgrass sentiments? So this is regardless of accuracy. And this was found significant for Florida residents only, with only turfgrass sentiments being significant within the model. And this explained 8.5% of the variation in identified city or county blackout status. So all of this leads to my recommendations. First, I think that extension efforts ought to be focused among highly educated populations. There was correlations with increased lawn care practices and having more education. So people with more education, whether you're a decision maker or a resident, have a higher diversity in lawn care practices. So if we're looking at a community with a high amount of impact, people with higher amounts of education, so particularly could use with university-affiliated events or alumni events might be an area for extension to reach just because they have higher diversity in lawn care practice. And with residents, more lawn care practice also meant less accuracy, so they're less aware of what the policy is. So this also is particularly important for outreach. I would also recommend increased civic engagement and civic science among Florida residents. 36.1% of Florida residents had accuracy in identifying their policy compared to 80.5% of decision makers. This is fairly intuitive, this stark difference. But ultimately, if we can get citizens more involved in the policy creation process, but also in the scientific creation process, it would decrease their some of the controversy and ideas of corruption with science, but also would increase their awareness of what the policy actually is. And then lastly, I would recommend a change in dialogue. There's a lot of talk about if only policymakers would trust science more, but as the regression showed, it's only a small component of why a city or county has a blackout policy. So if the dialogue's always focused on simply trusting science, you're missing a lot of other factors that are going on. Future research can look at green industry employees. I think that's the number one population that I'd want to look at to see these same questions and how they are affected by these fertilizer blackout periods and how aware they are, but also research faculty at universities and extension workers. So with all of that, I thank you for your time. My name is Christopher Ryan. Again, I'm with the University of Florida. Let me know if you have any questions. Yes.
Hey, Chris, you're a great job. So I'm in university for as well, and it's really interesting and really the work that you've done. So one question that I had was you mentioned that your decision makers, it seemed like they were making the decision based on something other than the trust of science. There's some sort of other social factor going on there. And I was just wondering if you had any idea of what that might be, or any thoughts, I'm not really for example, but any thoughts on what that might be.
So the question is related to Florida decision makers and what other factors, since trust in landscape science and turfgrass sentiments are only a smaller part of the larger picture of why they're adopting, in this case, blackout policy, and if I have any thoughts on what other factors may be. And truthfully, I don't, but what I would recommend is qualitative research methodology, doing focus groups and interviews. That sort of data collection is how you could uncover some of these factors. So that's area for future research is some good qualitative research. So I wish I had a better answer than that. So the question is, how do I feel about the fertilizer blackouts? I would tend to agree that I don't believe that lawns and landscapes are a significant area of concern for eutrophication compared to some other. I think agriculture might be a bigger factor. If you look at where the Everglades flows from, how it's been rerouted. That's where these blackouts are occurring. It's the same map. And I think that, you know, with sugarcane production, that's what I would think personally. I don't, you know, that's not what I researched specifically. There is data to show that summertime fertilizer blackout periods probably don't make a lot of sense. A winter blackout period, if you want to have one, would probably be a lot more reasonable and based in actual data.
Okay, that's all the time we have. Thank you.
Thank you.